Good morning.
Morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. Bible's on the way, and we're just sitting here beforehand. If you want to come and join us around 9:30, we come and talk a little bit and fellowship and laugh and giggle and carry on. And then we get serious, right? Just joking. But anyway, we do want to thank you for tuning in. If you're tuning in through our website, we thank the ones that are here live. It's much better to be here live, isn't it, guys?
Yes.
Sitting at home and, you know, you just don't have the fellowship there. But anyway, we are excited about that. If you have your red book, to be turning to page 236. We're going to sing Amazing Grace 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4. Kind of glory looks like the brightness of God's glory. You know what it looks like?
A rainbow.
So we're going to be shining like a rainbow. And wonderful. You ever sung that Amazing Grace to the tune of Gilligan's Island? Do that one time. Not now, but but yeah, you know Gilligan Island tune.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's fun that you can do that. But anyway, we're excited that you join us today. Any prayer requests, praise items? Well, everybody's healthy, wealthy, and wise. They're still continuing to go through chemo. Barb is, okay. And I was hoping that I'm gonna touch bases with them this week. And let her know what's going on, and I didn't talk with her this week. Walt, I haven't talked with Walt in a while, but when I call, he seems like he's happy-go-lucky. So he's still in a nursing home. That's where he is. And Barb's still doing the chemo. Their daughter, she's staying at home.
Oh.
Yeah, but her daughter's taking care of her and stuff. So I kind of figured that with the church that they go to, she may be going there for a while or something. You know, sometimes it might be hard for you to say, hey, will you take me to my church?
Right.
You know, and especially we at somebody's mercy. So just keep her in thought and prayer. Keep her conference in May. We're starting, we booked like 50 some rooms, and last report I got, we like 23, 24 is already filling up. So keep that in thought. I know you mentioned hotel stays. There's plenty of hotels in the Cambridge area, which is 20 minutes out, that type of thing. I know it seems like expensive stay, but people, I had some calls saying, hey, are you staying two nights, three nights, and that type of thing, because a lot of people are going to use it as a like a vacation. And they're wanting to say, okay, we've got plans going here throughout the, so we want, you know, you got to, you know, with the inflation and stuff, I hate to say this, eat or drive. You know what I mean? People's got to make up their mind what they're going to do. So just keep that thought and prayer. I'm serious. You know, we went out and ate a piece of lasagna last night, and I got home and I get a ding. X amount of dollars towards your budget for your restaurant budget. I'm like, we only went out one time.
Yeah.
You know, so I know that bill didn't cost $335. But anyway, just keep adding thought and prayer, because you, in this day and age, you have to plan just like you should.
Yeah.
You know, God, Christ gives us a mind to think on some things. And you know, many of you run by budget, and you do it very, very well. My wife's been after me for 25 years to be on a budget, and I'm like, I thought I was on a budget. You know, I won't. No, just joke. But anyway, keep that thought and prayer. Keep our ministry in thought and prayer as we continue to proclaim the good news of the gospel of grace of God in the area, and have this warm place that we can meet. That's always a blessing. But we would also want to extend a warm welcome to people that is listening, and what we're doing here as far as teaching the Word of God rightly divided. And it's building the edification up in you so you be able to take it out to someone else. And that's how you build your local church up. It's by word of mouth. You know, it's not, a lot of TV ministries, a lot of radio ministries. That's wonderful. But at the same time, we've done all that. You know, we've done all that. So just keep in thought and prayer. Whoever you talk to is a potential, one, being in the body of Christ. Two, is coming to your local church. And when you talk about somebody, but you know what a difference between a friend and a foe is?
Yeah.
Many of you do, don't you? What would it be a foe to somebody? An enemy, okay. If Paul said, and we looked at this last week, about you became an enemy for the gospel's sake. And he's looking at the Galatians, and he said, you would have plucked your eyes out and gave it to me. But since I tell you the truth, you know, so how do you become an enemy if you know you have a brother right here that's, you know what I mean? That's tough. But if somebody clearly is lost, and dying and going to hell and totally rejects the gospel, the grace of God, is he your friend? Do you say, hey, friend? Or do you say, hey, foe? You know, I war with some things because, you know, I treasure you friends in the ministry. And there's very few people in the Bible that says that they was the friend of God. I'd much rather be a friend of God, wouldn't y'all? Yeah. Let's go to one prayer. Father, once again, thank you for today. Thank you for Thanksgiving us. As we think about our prayer requests and praise items, we want to lift you up and lift them up. And by lifting them up to you, it gives us peace. And Lord, as we think about, as we continue the fundamentals of dispensation, that we continue to glean something as we go through the Word of God rightly divided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 38. And we went from Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians. And what was their focus? Now, let's back up a minute. When God laid out the Word of God, okay, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Okay. Now we understand when you write it by the Word of God that Romans through Philemon is what?
Jesus.
Pauline.
Not only Pauline, but it's also
to
us. Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first part of Acts, is
for us.
The Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation, is for us. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not to us. So when you get to, we got to Romans, it's the first book of doctrine, and it's doctrine about justification, sanctification, glorification, dispensation, and application. And then we looked at Corinthians, the book of reproof. They were reproofing their behavior, okay? Then we looked at Galatians, and Galatians is correcting their behavior. And they was doing stuff in the body that wasn't pleasing with God. They was going back under law in that time. The next book after Galatians is what?
Ephesians.
That's also known as a book of
advanced doctrine,
okay? You're going to get some doctrine in this. And Ephesians deals with the church over which Christ is the head. Nowhere in your Bible are you going to find out, other than through the Pauline distinct ministry of Paul's apostles, that you're going to find Jesus Christ as a head of a body. Mm-hmm. You can't find that nowhere. Now, I know what some people may say, well, you know, a king is a head. You know, he's over a kingdom, a head, that type of thing. And you can think, well, rightly so. But when he says he's the head of a body, that is just made known to Paul for us. So this is some new doctrine per se, but new to the body of Christ as it comes out. And here you have the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace. And that's when he talks about the body of Christ and the dispensation that was given to me to you. Word, you're in Ephesians, right? And Ephesians assumes you already know the doctrine in the book of Romans. He does not go back over the fact that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. He assumes that you got Romans down, and that's what we talked about the other day when we ended a lesson about the maturity of the saint. How do you bring that saint to maturity is the doctrine. And you notice that Paul reveals us in the mystery in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For this call I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you," what?
Gentiles.
He becomes a prisoner of Jesus Christ for who? For us Gentiles. And that means nations. He is bound for the gospel's sake. And he says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you," word. Now, Paul gets this dispensation of the grace of God from who? The earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, right? He walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ taught him about the kingdom and the dispensation of grace. You're shaking your head, no. When did he understand, when did he get this information from the Lord? On the road, where was the Lord Jesus Christ at though? That's where
he was in heaven.
So the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets his information from the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And that's how you look at the Lord Savior today. He ain't nobody old pal. He ain't the man upstairs. He is the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. Right now, he's in royal exile, guys. And I think about back in the 70s, remember who the Shah of Iran was?
Yeah.
You know he was in royal exile when he left Iran, and he was living the royal life. You know what I'm talking about? So when you think about people like that, they're still living the royalty, but they're in exile. But Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile, sitting on the right hand of the Father till he makes the enemies their footstools. But this, have heard of the dispensation of grace, and you got to have the right Bible to see that. Okay? And we use the authorized version of the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. The other ones changed that word. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words." Now, that's not mysteriously. You know what I'm talking about? That's the mystery, which was what? Was Romans 16:25 say? To him that establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was made known since the world began, or kept secret?
Kept secret.
So this mystery program that God is revealing for the body of Christ that was not made known is now being revealed through Paul. Wouldn't you think he's special? Yeah. He's a special apostle on a special mission to take it, this message to the world, that the world can be reconciled with God, to God, without being a part of Israel. Never since then was that ever made known. Then he says, but by when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What do you got to do, guys?
You
got to read it. Where are you going to read it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
No. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That, here's where we're going, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and of the same bodies and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Hey, you're a partakers, you're fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of promise by what?
By
a kingdom gospel.
No.
By a circumcision gospel.
No.
By what gospel?
The
gospel, which is what today?
Grace.
The gospel of the grace of God, which what also? The gospel of Christ. The gospel, the good news that Paul gives out, my gospel, is my gospel too, and that's how he does it. So when you look at the book of Ephesians over, you will never find the gospel explained. You won't find that. Why not?
Already explained it in Romans.
He's already explained it in Romans. That's what happens. That's what happens to the Acts 28 brethren, that type of thing. Acts 2, Acts mid Acts, and Acts 28. They say it's just Ephesians and Colossians that are for us, and most of them won't even take up Philippians. And so of them they will take three, but the Acts 28 people say it's only the prison epistles. And these books are Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. That's what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Now, some of you might think, well, that's ridiculous. They believe that, guys. I've been toe-to-toe with them. I was diddling in it for a little bit, like, whoa, this is very interesting. Maybe it is for us only, the prison epistles, and Romans, and Corinthians, and Galatians. You know, it does say some, you know, Jewish terms in there. And I told you this before, and I'll tell it again, that I'm like, I was listening to them, like, wait a minute, maybe that's true. Why would me, being a Gentile in Rome, want to know anything about David? David ain't nothing to me. How about Abraham? Abraham's not my father. So you see how it works on you? Like, okay, maybe Romans not to me. I got to go over Ephesians. Oh, now the dispensation was committed to Paul for us Gentiles. Now I can start understanding some things. Now the gospel's to me. But where do you find the gospel at? In Corinthians. There you go. Where do you find out that the wages of sin is death? Where do you find out that all righteousness, you know, are filthy rags? That type of thing. Hey, there's a good little thing, we may go over this one time, how many times, I think it's 107 times, Paul uses the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Romans. And so many times in Corinthians, and so many times in Galatians, and so many times in Ephesians, and it starts getting less and less and less. But you've got to have that foundation over here. So I'm like, blessed are those, what was Romans 4:5, when Abraham was kind of by rights, by believing, and was, yeah. I'm like, what? You know that? And I'm like, wait a minute, now. this is starting to affect me. Maybe I do believe Abraham. How is Abraham my father if I'm a Gentile?
Father of all nations.
Not all nations, but what is it?
Through faith.
Father of faith. Mm-hmm. Did was Abraham saved in circumcision or uncircumcision?
Circumcision.
Okay. So am I part of the uncircumcision gospel, or am I part of the circumcision gospel?
Uncircumcised.
See, he has a dual fathership. I'm like, and I said this before, if I'm in Alaska and never seen a sheep before in my life, and you come up and say, we're all like seals led to slaughter, but I'm trying to explain the word of God to you, am I going to say sheep, or am I going to say seals?
Seals up here.
If I'm going to use the word of God, you got to do what? You have to use the word of God.
Okay.
You with me? We don't make stuff up like, okay, now we can make illustrations, but if you're going to use the word of God, that faith come up here and hearing the word of God, we can't change the animals.
Right.
We can't change what God says. So I'm like, and I put that stuff away, and I got back in line with what God says. So there's brethren out there will confuse you, and they go on and they start building doctrines off of that. The next thing you know, you won't see them again. We started this church right here, and it wasn't a month later, we had 4 or 5 people of that persuasion right in here, sitting right there. And each week they'd come up here and says, if you do this, I ain't doing it. And if you do this, I ain't doing it. I'm serious. And I'm like, you know, we ain't got there yet. So finally I said, next week we're going to start the book of Romans as the first book of doctrine for the body of Christ. How long we been here? Since 2005? I ain't seen them since. So you use the word of God, right? That's why I talk about friends and foe. Friends and foe. Were they friendly to me? Until that point. So when we use the word sleeping cells, you probably heard that in the political world, they're that way in the religious realm too. Okay? They will come in here and they're nothing but trouble. And they have a problem there because the gospel explained back over in Corinthians and in Romans, and is also explained in Galatians, and is not explained in Ephesians. That's why you have to understand Romans as the first book of doctrine. Otherwise, if you go to Ephesians, what gospel is he talking about? Where do you find that? So when you believe the gospel of Romans, what happens to you? You become a member of the agency, which he explains in Ephesians. You become a member of the body of Christ. And the book of Ephesians explains that agency to you, and it makes you known to us. Chapter 1, verse, go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 9. I'm going to start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bless us with some spiritual blessings in earthly places. The Bible says, who hath. What is that? He's already blessed you. With how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Everything, you're complete in Christ. Everything right here is focused in the heaven. According to he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hey, what does that mean? He has chosen us before. He is predestined, let's keep reading. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I know what some people say, see, some predestinated, you're predestinated, I'm not predestinated. Right. What did he predestinate before the world began?
Christ
and what else?
Mankind.
What are we talking about? No, but what are we talking about? What did he? What are you getting into once you're saved in the dispensation of grace?
The adoption.
What is it?
The body.
The body of Christ. That's what he predestinated. Okay? He didn't predestinate you're going to sit here today and I'm going to have to thumb the church this morning. No. Okay? Brother Jacob last week, he said, hey, I'm going to be a little late. He had a flat tire, and he said, I thought about turning around, but I'm glad he showed up, right? That's why I'm glad to hear. But look, things happen, but what God predestinated in times past was a body. Now, how do you get in that body? By choice, right?
Yeah.
Okay? He don't say you're getting a body, you're not. That's why free will is very, very important, even in today. And when we raise our kids up, we want them having some free will, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We really do.
Right.
You know, and we don't want to violate that free will, but sometimes you have to take a little schoolmaster tool to them. Straighten up. You know, tap you on the bottom. And I went to school many times with a strap across my back. But, hey, I probably was, OCD and ABCD and EFG and all that stuff. That would be long before they come out with all this terminology. But the thing is, God predestinated a body. And you trust Christ, died for your sins, and buried, and he places you in that body how? By one spirit, by faith, and it's by the operation of God, and he circumcises you. He baptizes you, and he places you in the body. And who's the head?
Christ.
And it's not a three-headed beast. Christ is the head. And it says, to the praise of the glory wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Hey, you're already accepted. In who? In the beloved. Who's the beloved?
Jesus.
Look, yeah, amen. And then he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us all wisdom and what? Prudence. We have all the wisdom and prudence and knowledge and understanding that we can probably fathom in our little 8 pounds of gray mass up there. Right? You think about some of the things we have to think about on a daily basis. No wonder my blood pressure is 199 over 100. And some days you wake up and I'm testing that blood pressure. Oh, it's 145. I just woke up. You know, I already think, no, just say, well, just relax a little bit. And it drops down to 138. You know, I'm like, okay. But anyway, the thing is what have, if you've got the mind of Christ, look how big his mind is. You think about the head of the Lord Jesus Christ on a body of believers, and he has to deal with us every day. Right?
Long suffering.
Yeah. Hey, it's bad enough being a preacher sometimes. Bad enough being a husband. Right? And that type of thing. You're dealing with things on a daily basis, but we have the mind that we can understand. Here's where we're going. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, he hath purposed in who?
Himself.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit purposed in God the Son long before we ever was thought of. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we obtained the inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his what? His own will. Now the eternal purpose of God in all of its fullness have been revealed in this book of Ephesians. On the onslaught, Brother Dan said the advanced mystery truths. That's what it pertains to. And you know, before you started studying this, I'd be willing to say, what advanced mystery truths? You're thinking, what are you talking about? I know there's going to be a king and there's going to be a kingdom. That advanced mystery truth? And you see the church over there, which is Christ is the head. Also, the book of Ephesians is the advanced truth. Romans is the basic truth of foundation. Okay, we got that down. And by the way, you get that down, Paul never goes back to that. But I don't feel saved. Paul never goes back to that. He has given you half, made you accept half. You're already there in Christ Jesus. And the advanced mystery truths, what God is giving to in the heavenly places, what God is going to purpose in himself, what does he say? In the fullness of times, right? Okay, God will, in the full, Ephesians 1:10 talks about the fullness of time, we just read it, that God takes what's in heaven and what's in earth and gives it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign over it all. Are there going to be a new heaven, guys?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are there going to be a new earth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says that. As beautiful as it is out there, this world ain't our home, but we still got to live in it, don't we? And sometimes we can find some beautiful places. And I'm trying to find some here in Ohio. Just joking. But anyway, I get this email about things in Ohio. And the things that you can do in this state is just unbelievable. You know, I got one the other day about a cave out there in West Liberty. It's supposed to be one of the most beautiful caves in the world in the United States. And it ain't the Mammoth Cave. And you're like, you know, that type of thing. Just a trip out there. Some of the best hot dog barbecue places and ice cream parlors, whatever you want to do. You know, just things like that. You're like, why am I just stuck in this little place? Why can't you travel? You can do all that in a day. I found one trip that was hitting all the barbecue places, and it was 327 miles. And you could start in Nashport or Zanesville, and you end up in Cincinnati, you know, 6-hour trip. We should do that one day, right? Hit every barbecue, if you like barbecue. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of things you can do here in Ohio or in your local state or in your county that you probably never even thought of before. Hey, I remember when I was 17 years old, went to New York City for the first time, I was fascinated. And went to the Statue of Liberty, went to the Empire State Building. And the people I went with lived there all their life and never, ever been to those places. Passed it probably 1,000 times looking up, but never. When we get out of this world, there are going to be places that God's going to show us or be where he's at right now that's just going to be in awe. You ever thought about the Garden of Eden? You know, you talk about how wonderful it is, no thorns, thistles. You know, when you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's just going to be wonderful. Wonderful. And Ephesians is building that superstructure of edification. The edifice of doctrine that builds you up and you can store it in your soul. And the information in Ephesians is about the agency of the body of Christ. And the agency of which we are a part of today. That's what it is. It's functioning agency. Hey, if you wasn't here today, where would the body be? Where would the body of believer locally would be if you wasn't didn't show up today? You'd still be here, but physically you wouldn't be here. You know, but you're still the body of Christ. Okay? And you're still members in particular. Each one of us is a part of that body in particular. Fingers, hands, right? That type of thing. And God once had an agency called the nation Israel. Now he has an agency called the church, the body of Christ. That's why in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And he had an agency from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9. The agency that he used in this earth, on this earth, was the nation Israel. That vehicle was what was carrying God's word, and it was showing everybody else what God was doing, and a lot of people came to that knowledge and truth and became a part of that nation Israel. But today, we understand there's no difference. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, male, female, bond, free. That God has an agency. He's not using the nation Israel as an agency to perform this information, but he's using the body of Christ to form this information. And where are they seated at? In heavenly places. And you're like, But what about the earth? And we, what we know about Romans 9, 10, 11? Has he forgotten about Israel?
No.
He hasn't forgotten about Israel. The world has to come to understand what God is doing in the dispensation of grace of God to be saved today. You can't have two messages out there, guys. You can't have... Can you have two trains running on the same track?
No.
One has to be behind the other or in front of. They have schedules, okay? But when that train was coming down that prophetic track, it was going, and the next thing after Stephen was this period over here. I don't want to say the train's been derailed, but it's sitting at the station right now, okay? And there's another train that's running, like a subway train. Have you ever been, many of you been on subways?
Mm-hmm.
There's a network under a city that goes every which way.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, Cleveland had a subway under one time. Did y'all know that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there. They open it up once a year. And they open it up and people goes in there and marvels at the trains and stuff that used to run in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Under bridges and stuff. I'm like, that's how you got around. But today, you don't have to go underground, do you? To ride a train. God Almighty has a train out there for us to get on. It's called a glory train. And we get on that glory train, and it's taking us to where? The kingdom on earth? Or is it taking us to the kingdom of heaven? And in chapters 1 to 3, the Ephesians, you get the doctrine. That there is your calling. And you have the wealth that is ours in who? Where do you have all your wealth and riches? In a bank account? On earth?
No.
In
heavenly places. But in who?
In Jesus.
Christ Jesus. That's where we have our wealth. That's where we have our understanding. That's where we have our state. We have our standing and state. Our state of mind is already where it's in Christ Jesus. Our standing is where you're at right now. How are you standing today? Are you wishy-washy in the doctrine? Can you be tossed to and fro if it ever went to doctrine? Hey, there's people out there that needs to hear this glorious gospel, the grace of God, and come to understanding and then get in this book and start understanding this book. Otherwise, you get tossed to and fro with ever wins of doctrine. And you, have you ever been that way? Some of you have. Some of you are so deep ingrained in your denominational doctrine, it took two or three yanks from God's Holy Spirit to get you out, to get you in here. You know? I remember Walt was coming, and he was wanting his wife to come.
I remember.
And he goes, he's going to talk about Revelation. She, boom. Come right in here. What revelation do you think I was talking about?
About
the mystery. And she's like, what? And Barb's a studier.
Yeah, she is.
And she started, and she, next thing you know, she was here. Walt missed everybody as well, but she's studying the Bible. We miss her dearly. But the thing is, once you understand that, if that Bible that you know is authority of God, and he's speaking these words from this page today, and you read it, and it's like, wait a minute, what? It's going to be strange to your ears sometimes. But once you just say, God, this is your word, and I just want to be right. It may not make sense, but I just want to be right. It starts making sense. You take the blinders off your eyes. I'm working on my message in May, and it's going to be 20/20 vision and walking around blind. And that's people think they got 20/20 vision in the Word of God, but they're walking around blind. And God says, let your eyes have enlightened the understanding. For with all wisdom, knowledge, and knowledge and understanding. So you don't have to walk around blind. Your doctrine, your soul can be liberated. You know, I was going up the road this morning, and a shadow was projecting my big truck, like 25 feet out in front of you. I'm going up 250, and if you know anything about 250, it's full of little buggies.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this buggy, and all the buggies was looking nice and pretty. It was all going to church, you know. And that one buggy come up there, and I was watching her, and that horse was, and they put blinders on the horse for a reason. You know why?
Yeah, yeah. It get distracted.
Yeah. So I'm watching my shadow, and I'm anticipating that horse to come out. And she come, he or she would come over into my lane. Now they got lanes, if you know, for the horse and buggies on there. And the horse was doing this, and I'm anticipating my shadow of that truck got up there to it, and that horse went. Saw that shadow of something bigger coming by. And yeah, and I'm backing off. And then we was coming up the right, a red light, and she started getting over. I call it she, you know, started getting over, because you know how females drive, right?
Oh, just yeah. Joking.
And I came around her, but I was watching that shadow and that projection of people like that. We don't have to walk around blind. We don't have blinders on. You take the blinders off when you understand the Word of God rightly divided. You walk, you look circumspectly. Your head should be on a swivel, if you think about it. And just looking circumspectly. And in this day and age, not in the religious realm, in the worldly realm, you better be walking circumspectly. There's some evil things going on out there. And you might be calm and just, hey, I'm just going to the store. I'll be back in a minute, honey. I'm just going to go get a loaf of bread and not come back. So you better be watching these things. And you better know where you're going to spend eternity. Because that guy that might be following you, he don't care. I didn't mean to scare you about that. But the thing is, the chapters 4 through 6, you have the walk. You have your wealth in chapters 1 through 3, and your walk in chapter 4, 5, 6. How am I going to walk? The doctrine produces an impact in the local church and the members of the body of Christ. The local church, you guys are having an impact in society. You guys are having an impact, whether you want to believe it or not, in your families. Isn't that where your first impact should be? But Christ is forming in you the hope of glory and having an impact. And you have a calling and your conduct. How you go... When you're being called, how's your conduct going to be? I don't care. I don't care. I watched people for 20 years on this account that I'm on. And some of the people that we got in there, they don't care. They tear up equipment. You know, I got to tell you this. He may be listening. But the thing is, pulled in there one Saturday morning. I worked two Saturdays ago, you know, just to help them out. And there's a forklift right in the parking lot, just marred up. Now, we're not supposed to be on the forklifts. So the driver decided he's going to go out and put his jack, we have electric power jacks, on the trailer, and he got it marred up. He left it. Just left it. Well, I found out who it was, and I basically just, I didn't get a chance to talk to him yet, but I told the boss, I said, he should be eliminated. We have a policy, you're not allowed on that forklift, period. So one of the drivers told me who it was. He goes, well, he said he don't care, they could fire him. He's got another job. That's the attitude. That's the conduct of people that just don't care. And I'm like, I wasn't brought up that way. You know, if I marred something up, I'm doing everything I can to get it out there before I leave it. So me and two other guys, we got it out there. But what I'm getting at, the conduct, your calling. If you're called to do a job, how is your conduct going to be responding to that job? And if you know how you ever meet people, they're so miserable. Gosh, I don't want to come in here. And they're always complaining. What is usually your answer to them? Find something else to do. If you're that unhappy at what you're doing, then find something else to do. But God called us with a hope of calling, with the glorious gospel. We know how to act, don't we? And hey, guys, I guess there's two things, optimists and pessimists. Some of you this way, some of you, I'm right down the middle. I'm a realist. I look at my kids and I'm like, I love them to death, but I'll tell you this thing. My daughter hired a painter back in October and November, and she was trying to get her house painted and a stain deck, and he'd come and paint a little bit and leave. Come and paint a little bit and leave. Don't show up for weeks or two. Oh, I'm on my way. I got a flat tire. They fired him. Well, his daddy's a retired police chief in the town she lives in. He takes a gun and blows his dad's face off after stabbing him, beats his wife up, and they got him in jail. And my daughter's terrified because what if she comes after? What if he comes after them?
Yeah.
You know? And which if you're on a killing spree, or you might, and she's terrified. And I said, well, you got to get a hold of your neighbors, you know, all of them, everybody knows. She said, well, the judge lives in the neighborhood and we hope he don't release him. And immediately I'm straightforward and I said, well, if he's one of these da 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 anti God da da da. I said, there's a chance he's going to be out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she went, you and your political views. I'm like, it's not political view. It's a fact that they release people.
Yeah.
So what is your conduct? If you're called as a preacher, a teacher, a judge, or whatever the case may be, what is the conduct? You should be by the letter of the law.
Right.
You know? And so that's what I'm talking about out there. You can be terrified with the world. But we're not in this world, are we? There's not a person sitting right here today, you should not be afraid to die. Now, I'm not saying going out here and you know, put yourself in jeopardy. But the thing is, the book of Ephesians is a balance between the two. Your wealth, your walk, your conduct, your calling, that type of thing. And it does help you out, doesn't it? We tell people all the time, you got troubles? Read the book of Ephesians. Just six little chapters. Any questions or comments? I got something else to do, but I think I might wait that to next week because, you know, we talked about last week the process of maturity and godly edification. And this time I was just going to walk over, you know, when we talked about reversionism, you know what reversionism is? It's reverting back to where you was. Okay, you can be saved, and then you revert back to where you was lost.
Like backsliding?
Well, I don't like to use the term backsliding, but it's not the same.
Oh, it's cardinal.
It's going back to carnal mind, and it's detailed in Ephesians chapter 4. And maybe we'll do that next week. After each lesson, I've been sharing some more little things that's hopefully been helping you with you grow. But if it's detailed in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 14, and this process is and how it will affect the believer. And the passage is just warning saints about reversionism, that ye henceforth walk not walk as others Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So what's he doing? People's reverting back to the way they was before they were saved, okay? And that's what happens to a lot of people. And even in a ministry, you have people reverting back to where they was carnal-minded or natural man. So we'll do that next week. But any question or comments about Ephesians? It is a wonderful book. But let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you've given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we think about who we are in Christ Jesus and that we're part of the members of the body of Christ, that we do have a conduct that we need to be mindful of who we are in you. And as we think about other things that's pertaining to our life in this world, let's all glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we want to thank you for tuning in. And if you want to visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org or come and visit us, we'd much rather have you here. Right, saints? Until next week.